read-along audiobooks, the best of the classics. Puss in Boots by Charles Perrault. A miller left all of his possessions, a mill, a donkey, and a cat, to his three sons. It did not take long to divide the property. No attorney was called in, since the fees would have eaten up the little patrimony. The eldest son received the mill, the second son the donkey, and the youngest received only the cat. The youngest son was very sad at receiving so little. "My brothers," he said, "will be able to earn an honest living with the mill or the donkey. But when I have eaten my cat and made a scarf of his fur, I will die of hunger." The cat had heard this speech, although he had not appeared to do so, and said to him with a calm and serious air, "Do not be troubled, master. If you give me a bag and a pair of boots made for me, in which I can go among the bushes, you will see that you were not left as badly off as you believe." His master did not place much reliance on the cat's words. However, he had seen the cat play cunning tricks to catch rats and mice when he would hang himself up by the heels or hide in the flower pretending to be dead. So the master was not altogether without hope of being helped out of his problems by the cat. The cat received what he had asked for and boldly pulled on his boots. Then, hanging his bag around his neck, he started off for a warren where there were a great number of rabbits. He put some bran and herbs in his bag and then stretched himself out as if he were dead. Now, he just waited until some young rabbit, little versed in the wiles of the world, came and poked his way into the bag in order to eat what was inside it. He had hardly laid himself down before he had the pleasure of seeing a young scatterbrain of a rabbit get into the bag. The cat pulled the strings and caught the rabbit without mercy. Proud of his prey, he went to the palace and asked to speak to the king. He was ushered upstairs and into the state apartment. The cat bowed low to the king and said, "Sire, here is a wild rabbit, which my lord, the Marquis of Carabas," which was a title he had decided to make up for his master, "has ordered me to present with his compliments to your majesty." "Tell your master," replied the king, "that I thank him and am pleased with his gift." Another day he went and hid himself in the wheat, keeping the mouth of his bag open as before. Soon he saw that a brace of partridges had run inside, and he pulled the strings, capturing both. He immediately went and presented them to the king, as he had the rabbits. The king was equally grateful at receiving the brace of partridges, and ordered a drink be served to him. For the next 2 or 3 months, the cat continued in this manner, taking presents of game at intervals to the king, saying they were from his master. One day, when he knew the king was going to drive on the banks of the river with his daughter, the most beautiful princess in the world, the cat said to his master, "If you will follow my advice, your fortune is made. You have only to go and bathe in the river, where I will point out to you. Leave the rest to me." The master did as his cat advised him, without knowing what good would come of it. While he was bathing, the king passed by, and the cat began to call out with all his might, "Help! Help! My lord the Marquis of Carabas is drowning!" Hearing the cry, the king looked out of the coach window. Recognizing the cat who had often brought him game, he ordered his guards to help the Marquis of Carabas. While they were getting the poor Marquis out of the river, the cat went up to the royal coach. He told the king that while his master had been bathing, some robbers had come and carried off his clothes, The rogue had hidden them himself under a large stone. The king immediately ordered the officers of his wardrobe to go and fetch one of his handsomest suits for the Marquis of Carabas. The king embraced him 1,000 times. The king's daughter was quite taken as well, with the fine clothes setting off his good looks, for he was handsome and well made. After the Marquis of Carabas cast 2 or 3 respectful and rather tender glances towards her, she fell very much in love with him. The king insisted upon his getting into the coach and accompanying them in their drive. The cat, delighted to see that his plans were beginning to succeed, ran on ahead. When he came across some peasants who were mowing a meadow, he said to them, "Good people who are mowing here, if you do not tell the king that this meadow you are mowing belongs to my lord the Marquis of Carabas, I will cut you into pieces as small as minced meat." As the cat expected, the king asked the peasants whose meadow it was they were mowing. "It belongs to our lord, the Marquis of Carabas," they all said together, for the cat's threat had frightened them. "You have a fine property there," said the king to the Marquis of Carabas. "As you say, sire," responded the Marquis of Carabas, "for it is a meadow that yields an abundant crop every year." The cat, who was still ranging ahead of the party, came up to some harvesters and said to them, "Good people who are reaping, if you do not say that all this corn belongs to my lord the Marquis of Carabas, I will cut you into pieces as small as minced meat." The king, who passed by a minute afterwards, wished to know to whom belonged all the cornfields he saw. "To our lord the Marquis of Carabas," repeated the reapers, and the king again congratulated the Marquis on his property. The cat continued to run before the coach, uttering the same threat to everyone he met, and the king was astonished at the great wealth of the Marquis of Carabas. The cat finally arrived at a wonderful castle, which was owned by an ogre. The ogre was amazingly rich, for all the lands through which the king had driven belonged to the ogre. The cat made sure to find out who the ogre was and what he was able to do. Then he asked to speak with him, saying that he did not like to pass so near his castle without paying his respects to him. The ogre received him as civilly as an ogre can, and made him sit down. "I have been told," said the cat, "that you have the power of changing yourself into all kinds of animals. That you could, for instance, transform yourself into a lion or an elephant." "It is true," said the ogre, "and to prove it to you, you will see me become a lion." The cat was so frightened when he saw a lion in front of him that he quickly scrambled up into the gutter, not without difficulty and damage on account of his boots, which were worse than useless for walking on the tiles. Shortly afterwards, seeing that the ogre had resumed his natural form, the cat climbed down again and admitted that he had been terribly frightened. "I have also been assured," said the cat, "but I cannot believe it, that you have the power of taking the form of the smallest animal. For instance, that of a rat or a mouse. I confess to you that I hold this to be utterly impossible." "Impossible?" exclaimed the ogre. "You will see." And he immediately changed himself into a mouse and began running about the floor. As soon as the cat caught sight of the mouse, he pounced on it and ate it. In the meantime, the king, seeing the fine castle of the ogre as he was driving past, thought he should like to go inside. The cat, who heard the noise of the coach rolling over the drawbridge, ran to meet it and said to the king, Your Majesty is welcome to the castle of my lord, the Marquis of Carabas." "My lord Marquis," exclaimed the king, "this castle belongs to you?" "Nothing could be finer than this courtyard and all these buildings which surround it. Let us see the inside of it, if you please." The Marquis helped the young princess out. They followed the king, who led the way upstairs, and they entered a grand hall. In the hall, they found prepared a magnificent feast, which the ogre had ordered in expectation of some friends who were going to visit him that very day. But the friends did not venture to enter when they heard the king was there. The king was as delighted with the excellent qualities of the Marquis of Carabas as was his daughter, who was more than ever in love with him. Now, seeing what great wealth the Marquis possessed, and after drinking 5 or 6 cups, said to him, "If you wish to, my lord Marquis, I would like you to become my son-in-law." The Marquis, making several profound bows, accepted the honor the king offered him. That same day, he married the princess. The cat became a great lord, and never again ran after mice, except for his own amusement. No matter how great is the advantage of receiving a superb inheritance from sire to son descended, young men often find, on industry combined with ingenuity, they'd better have depended. If the son of a miller so quickly could gain the heart of a princess, it seems pretty plain. With good looks and good manners, and some aid from dress, the humblest need not quite despair of success.